Welcome to the first episode of How We'll Live. I'm Haley. In case you missed the intro episode, each week I'll be sharing conversations on a grab bag of topics with thought leaders, creators, and crusaders whose innovative work, ideas, and products are igniting change, challenging the status quo, and shifting existing thought patterns for a better now and greater tomorrow. We'll discuss our health, the environment, culture, society, and how together we can make the world and our collective experience better. My mission is to think a bit differently, spark a little passion, make change, and of course, have some fun while we're at it. I am so excited to share my conversation with Haley Thomas as the inaugural episode of this podcast. Haley is an 18-year-old international speaker, health activist, vegan food and lifestyle influencer, the youngest certified integrative nutrition health coach in the United States, and the founder and CEO of the nonprofit Happy, which addresses the need for free and affordable nutrition and culinary education in underserved and at-risk communities, as well as schools and through annual summer camps. She was inspired to pursue this passion after her family successfully reversed her father's type 2 diabetes with healthy eating and lifestyle choices. Haley has been featured on Rachel vs. Guy Kids Cookoff, Cupcake Wars, The Today Show, Dr. Oz, The Rachel Ray Show, and has been highlighted in several major publications. Her mission is to be a positive example and inspiration, and continue to demonstrate the power and unlimited potential that exists when we walk confidently in the direction of our dreams and live our lives with purpose and passion. That's a pretty amazing list of credentials for anyone, let alone an 18-year-old. But the truth is, Haley represents much more than her credentials. She is an example of the capability that we each have to make a difference when we lead with passion, and that with hard work, perseverance, and learning to tap into our intuition, anything is possible. She is kind, smart, funny, and wise beyond her years. At the beginning of this episode, Haley and I talk about how we met 3 years ago through the Institute for Integrative Nutrition, where, like I said before, she was the youngest person to ever go through the program. We also talk about how her father's diagnosis of type 2 diabetes led her family into their health and wellness journey, how the reversal of the type 2 diabetes through diet and lifestyle really sparked Haley's passion, what gave her the confidence to feel empowered to share this important message, how she balances being a kid with the work she was put on this planet to do, and how she was applauded by the one and only Michelle Obama. This was such a special conversation, and I felt like I could have listened to Haley talk about her work and her passion and what's next for hours. I hope that you enjoy listening to this conversation as much as I enjoyed having it. And after you're done listening, if you loved it, it would mean so much if you rated, left a review, subscribed, or downloaded. If you have an idea that you think would be awesome on this podcast or some feedback for me, feel free to email me at haley@haley-miller.com. All right, let's get to my conversation with Haley. So you were the youngest person to ever go through IIN, right?
Yes. So far, I'm the youngest graduate, and it's still a pretty just a crazy thing to think about. I think, you know, it's definitely an honor, and it has kind of been an example to not only myself, but also other young people of just how limitless we really are when we work hard and are able to kind of align our intentions with our passions and go forward in that way. And I think kind of through that energy, you just attract the people who can help you along the way. And so it was such an honor to actually be allowed to be enrolled into the Institute by Joshua Rosenthal, and getting like a good word in from one of my mentors, Deepak Chopra. So, you know, I am just so grateful for both of them for giving me a chance and the opportunity to learn and get this certification, because it has, of course, just legitimized my work, but has also allowed me to just completely grow and evolve my thought process and even everyday lifestyle choices when it comes to health and wellness. So it's definitely an honor and just such an exciting thing. I think what I love most about it was that it was such a 360 perspective, whether it was looking at, you know, different diets, and you know this, but, you know, like looking through the different diets to looking at health as a whole. And I think for a long time, in the beginning of my work, I did look at things kind of separately, like food and then exercise. And so now integrating components like your relationships and the things that you do day to day and your passions and, you know, obviously getting sleep and things like that, but also just that fulfillment aspect and mental health aspect, tying all of those things in and recognizing how much it just impacts our well-being as a whole. So that was really impactful for me going through the program.
That was one of the most impactful things for me too. I had been so focused on sort of food as a main nutrition source, but then you start thinking about all of these other areas that are actually feeding you in so many different ways. It's so powerful.
Yes. And, you know, even through that, I was able to then recognize things that would happen to me when I would say, for instance, be like really stressed out. I would get these weird like chest pains and, you know, I would go to doctors and nobody could figure it out. Nothing was wrong with my heart or anything in my chest area, but I noticed that every single time I got super stressed out, that happened. So then being able to now look at it as, you know, that emotions and stress can have direct causes on health and well-being and cause symptoms that aren't linked to anything else. Like having that knowledge really empowered me to then find a way to like better manage my stress and ensure that throughout the day I'm doing things that still make me feel happy and fulfilled, even when I have lots of deadlines or projects to work on that might cause that stress. So it's just such an enlightening and empowering process to kind of recognize that every influence that you have makes a huge impact, whether you recognize it or not, your body does. So recognizing that was huge for me.
Yeah, your body is sending you so many messages all the time, and it's hard to quiet the noise. I think we have so much noise going on, and if we quiet that, we start to be able to listen to the body's signals. And it's really amazing too how education is so empowering. Just simply gaining more knowledge and expanding our thought processes, all of a sudden we are empowered to do new things, and we're given a voice, and we feel like we can share that voice. And then all of a sudden we're inspiring. And that's what your life's work has been. And it's amazing to say that you can have a body of work that's so broad at the age of 18. But you started when you were you 8 or were you 10 when you got started?
Well, I was 8 when I really started to learn more about nutrition, specifically in the food system and that side of things. After my dad was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes around that time, our family just kind of went full down into the rabbit hole of, you know, watching all of the classic food documentaries and buying all of the health cookbooks and looking at food through this completely different lens that we had never even considered before. And, you know, we are foodies and have been foodies throughout this all, but it's so interesting that you can love food and be so interested in it, but for completely different reasons. And for us, it was purely flavor based and, you know, just based on the culture that we were used to, and having two Jamaican parents, like food and flavor are deeply tied to, you know, family traditions and customs, and kind of, reigniting what my parents have learned and enjoyed in their own households when they were little. So for us, it was kind of deconstructing all of that and redefining what food meant for us. And so it was like finding a way to make it still feel soulful and comforting, but also nourish our bodies. So that whole process was just so incredible for me, and getting to realize that food has the power to heal, and seeing that play out in front of me when we reversed my dad's type 2 diabetes without medication, just these healthy lifestyle changes and through this education, I was just astonished and by not only the incredible like miracle that happened, but also by the fact that it doesn't have to be an anomaly, and it also can be information that is incredibly helpful to young people because we struggle with the same diseases as well. So that entire realization process really happened around the ages of 8 and 9. And then by the time I was 10, I was really ready to get into my community. And that's when I started my activism.
Wow, what an incredible story. So you were 8 and your dad was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. And who was it that made the decision to say, we're not going to use medication that typical doctor might try to prescribe? We're going to look at food. Who was it, you, that had this idea that food could heal? Or how did you guys find out about that?
It was definitely not me. I was just a completely oblivious, normal 8-year-old from that perspective and on that topic. So I, again, really love food, but had no like idea of what it meant, you know, to eat superfoods and never tried quinoa before. And, you know, my smoothies were literally just like bananas and milk, you know, very basic kind of ideas of what healthy or health and well-being even look like. It just was like running around and then drinking water. Like that was all that I was taught. So it was actually my mom who really spearheaded the entire thing, really looking into the medication that the doctor had prescribed for my dad and seeing all the incredibly horrific side effects and just how it could only really make his condition get worse and honestly spark other chronic illnesses. And so through that journey of just digging deep into the medication, learning as much as she could about it, and then finding out about an alternative of food and changing our lifestyle, she just really, you know, spearheaded that and completely convinced everyone to join along. And, you know, I was like 8 at the time, so I was super excited to just be a part of anything that could help my dad. And, you know, along that process, we ended up just kind of all being a part of it together and learning together and applying what we learned together and eventually reversing his condition. But she definitely was the spark to all of that.
Well, she sounds like a really amazing woman.
She is. She is. Well, I think both of my parents, they really have instilled in me, especially the idea of just not taking things at face value. And I think that is one of the most damaging things we can do in society is just react based on other people's opinions and not always fully the truth or actual facts. And I think that happens a lot, especially on social media where, you know, you hear something and then it just continues to circulate and circulate, and it might not even be the whole truth or, you know, something that might be misleading, and you just read one thing and then you make up your mind about it. And so I think that idea of really digging deep, researching, being a conspiracy theorist and making sure that you fully understand what you're consuming, both mentally and physically, I think is a huge benefit that I've been able to reap from being the child of my parents, just because they've always been like that and have always encouraged like free thinking and always asking questions and never being afraid to do that. And to me, that really creates a unlimited life and unlimited mindset, because then anything is explorable and worth questioning and worth pondering, you know, what can be possible and what can happen in life.
Exactly. It goes back to this idea of empowerment through education and through knowledge.
Absolutely.
So you started feeling passionate. You knew that food was really medicine, right? You saw the impact that it had firsthand. How did you start sharing this message with other people? You know, 10 years, was it? Yeah, I guess it's about 10 years ago now, right?
Yeah, almost 10 years, which is just absolutely insane. It's like, I feel like part of me feels like I just started yesterday, but another part of me feels like it's just so much has happened in what feels like so little time, but it's truly been just a really well-rounded journey. And, you know, I really did start at a super basic level of just wanting to do something in my community and wanting to share my story about my family and kids getting involved in cooking and well-being, and now to be at a place where I think I wanted to be for so long in terms of expanding my work outside of just food and kind of being boxed into the idea of being like just a chef or a recipe developer and more into being someone who can, you know, help unlock minds and spark ideas and support other people who are, you know, trying to speak their truth and do their thing and just lead by example in the ways that I can by just, you know, being myself and staying true to that. So I feel like for a long time, who I am now is who I always wanted to be, which is a really fulfilling feeling. And it's definitely just been a roller coaster, and so much learning and growth has come from it, in addition to growing up during the process.
So many transitions.
Yes, in every way, for sure.
Yeah. So when you first, you start going to school after eating, you guys ended up eating vegan, right? To reverse your dad's type 2 diabetes?
No. So we actually didn't go vegan, but we significantly reduced our red meat consumption and dairy consumption and just really amped up the fruits and vegetables. Our typical dinners were like white rice, lots of gravy and some type of meat, and then maybe like a tablespoon of vegetables on the side. So it was very out of balance and out of whack. And it was really just kind of restructuring what a plate of nourishment looked like. And so that was, you know, instead of these heavy starches, it was replacing those things with greens and lively ingredients. And over time, our health evolution just kind of brought us to becoming vegan. And it wasn't really like a decision that we made knowing what we were getting into. It was just kind of like an experiment because we were bored and tired of what we were eating. And we went vegan almost 5 years ago now. And so that decision was something that just happened overnight. It was kind of like a challenge for our family to evolve our health and well-being and just see how we felt, because we weren't attached to any outcome. But as we went along the journey, it just fully aligns with who I want to be, what I want to contribute to the world, and the work that I want to continue to do. And it's not to force other people to become vegan, but just to simply make sure that they are holding themselves accountable for how they're impacting their bodies and also how they're impacting the world around them, because we can't afford not to at this point and have definitely paid the price in multiple ways for being oblivious or not even oblivious, but kind of pretending like we don't see how we make an impact on the world and pretending like everything will just regenerate without wiping us off first. So, you know, I think that ultimately has fully aligned with just what I believe in. And I have been able to find a lot of creativity and incredible food on this journey of being vegan. So I'm happy with it. Everyone's healthy and enjoying it. And so, you know, that's what matters most. And it's just kind of where we are right now in this journey. And it's always evolving. So we'll see where we are in like 10 years.
That's great. But it's so important to be open to evolving too, because our bodies change and what we need is different. So when you first started transitioning into a more vegetable heavy diet, not necessarily vegan, and you were going to school, were you just leading by example, or were you outwardly sharing this message and letting people know what you were doing at home?
Well, when I first started to learn all of this information, even before the advocacy came into play, so around like 8 or 9 years old, I was really overwhelmed by all of the information that I'd acquired through this experience with my dad. And so I guess a lot of the ways that I tried to let my friends and peers know about all the food issues in the world, it was just completely wrong. It was very fear-mongering and super like, you know, if you eat pizza, you're going to clog your arteries. Like, what are you doing? Potato chips have this in it and you could die, like that kind of language. And I had no idea how to really process everything. And also I was not like trained in anything to know how to deliver this information to kids my age, just because I had only learned from documentaries, which are marketed to adults. So it was just kind of like, do you know what GMOs are? And they're looking at me like, I barely know my times table. Like, how are you asking me this? And so it was definitely not super organized or intentional at the time. I just had so much information and I wanted to share it. And I had no idea how to. And so that's mainly why I really look to my mom and parents to help me find an organization that could really help educate me on how to do community outreach and speak with people on the topic of health and well-being and these issues in the world, especially pertaining to young people dealing with type 2 diabetes and childhood obesity. And so, you know, we worked together to find an organization that could do just that. And when I was 10, I was able to join the Alliance for a Healthier Generations Youth Advisory Board. And so that program allowed me to completely educate myself on the issue at hand. And it gave me tools and resources to do community events and go into schools. And it really just equipped me with everything that I needed for a really great foundation and platform. And from being on that board, everything that has happened since has been a result of that, because they were able to give me opportunities to speak after they had just kind of fell in love with my story and my passion. And it really just went from there.
Skyrocketed. It's all a domino effect, isn't it? One thing always leads to another when you're...
Yeah.
I think when you follow your passion or you move through your life with intention, which you are obviously doing, that's when those things seem to just fall into place.
Yeah. And it's really interesting because all of this happened before I even knew what it meant to be intentional or to have a purpose or to have a mission. It's really interesting to just think that sometimes these things just find you, and without you even trying or knowing that this is what you want to do, it just happens. Because I feel like I didn't choose it. It just happened how it was supposed to and led me down this path, which I feel is completely aligned with, you know, my mission in life, I believe. So it's always interesting, because a lot of like motivational quotes will be like, find your passion and blah, blah, blah. But sometimes something crazy has to happen, or you have to learn a lesson in order for that passion to find you, which is so weird and strange. And then I think taking that opportunity and finding a way to kind of branch it outside of yourself and connect it to the world and your community around you, I think that's really where the magic starts to happen for sure.
Yeah, that's really inspiring and definitely interesting to think. Of course, when you're 8 years old, you're not thinking, I'm going to follow my passion with so much purpose and intention as I go out into the world.
It's exactly
definitely a different experience. But do you think that there's something about you? You know, experiences happen to people all the time. So mm-hmm. What do you think it is about you that took this experience and turned it into something greater than yourself?
Well, again, being such like, I mean, I'm still not technically, I would say I'm just now reaching a point of being like a fully developed person, now that I'm a quote unquote adult. So I feel like mainly it was just the influences that I've had in my life. And at such a young age, I was always encouraged to be a leader, not a follower, to always reach out to others in need, to always help my community, to always be of service, but also to always do what makes me happy. And so I think just having those foundational concepts basically like programmed into my mind from a really young age, I think that changed my perspective on what I could accomplish and what I could do with the knowledge that I acquired. So I was I always believed that I would be able to do anything, basically. And I think in society now, unfortunately, like there's two sides to it, where you see on social media and with influencers and people who travel the world all the time and entrepreneurs that like you can do anything, but then that message isn't echoed at home or in your communities. So I think that's where a lot of damage happens, is that people don't actually believe that they can do it themselves. They see all of these examples, but they might not have the self-confidence or the support systems around them to help build that confidence that makes them think, oh, I can absolutely like go for whatever I'd like to go for. So for me, I think it was definitely those elements that supported my work now and just allowed me to see a vision outside of myself and like think, oh, I'm 10, but I'm absolutely qualified to speak on a stage or talk to adults. And my parents also really made sure that I always had a firm handshake, always looked people in the eyes, whether it was like a 5-year-old kid or a 50-year-old person, you know. So I think just those elements of having self-confidence and just like being assured in who I am and not being afraid to express myself in the ways that feel right to me, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember the first time after being on the Alliance that you felt like you delivered the message in the way that you wanted to deliver it?
I think the first time that I would say I maybe got a glimpse of that, I guess, would be when I did my first speech, which was at the Partnership for a Healthier America Summit. And I was the only young person there, even though it was a conference about how to change the landscape regarding kids' menus and encouraging kids to eat healthily. And for some reason, there were literally no kids there to put their 2 cents into that conversation. But I had an incredible opportunity to share my story and why I believed it was really important for kids to learn to cook and be a part of their health journeys and not victims of what their parents may decide for them, but also to have a leadership role in their families and in their own lives when it comes to their well-being. And after I gave that speech, I got a standing ovation. And for me, I guess I would say just like, it just made me feel kind of like a happiness that I couldn't describe and a sense of fulfillment that I had never experienced before, just like a really big sense of accomplishment. And as though all of the people who I, you know, had the honor of speaking to were actually impacted by what I had to say. And I thought it was really amazing that I had this opportunity to build on this and to continue to say things that help people and or can inspire them or motivate them. Or even if it doesn't do either, maybe just hearing my story can spark something in them to want to share their own stories. So for me, I think it was definitely that moment that really initially told me that I really enjoyed what I was doing and felt that I should keep going with it. And as time continued on and then I founded my nonprofit Happy, I think that was the second moment of reassurance of what I was doing in terms of like actually being in communities, doing cooking demos, doing summer camps with kids, and literally seeing right before my eyes kids completely transform their views on the food that they eat, their views on themselves, and their views on their potential in the world. And for me, there's, I think, literally no other better feeling than being able to make a mark like that and to help someone change their outlook for the better. So for me, I think those two really sealed the deal. But especially founding the nonprofit, I would say just completely let me know that this is what I should be doing and I should just kind of go with the flow and follow it wherever it takes me.
So Haley, you founded a nonprofit when you were 12 years old?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, oh my goodness. Tell us more. It's Happy, right? You just said?
Yes. Yes. So when I was 12, I started Happy, and Happy is an acronym. So it stands for Healthy, Active, Positive, Purposeful Youth. And so essentially right now we provide plant-based nutrition and culinary education to kids all over the country in underserved communities. And we do that through school tours, school pop-ups, and summer camps. And so those are all experiences that I enjoy so much. And I love that we are able to do peer-to-peer learning, which is incredible, being able to provide this nutrition and health information in a way that's digestible, fun, engaging, and also comes from a place and a person that these students can relate to. And so that has kind of been like our secret sauce, is just ensuring that it's not like the typical physical education or nutrition class that you think of in your mind, of just like learning what a calorie is and then running outside and then, you know, you're healthy. But really like diving deep, diving into health, wellness, creativity, leadership collaboration and just exploration of food and flavors, and also that element of food as fuel for not only your body, but also your potential and your energy and your creativity and mental clarity, and connecting all of those dots. So we've just been incredibly lucky to have had the opportunities that we've had to engage with over like 17,000 students over these past 6 years. And, you know, we're just a two-person team, me and my mom, still to this day. And we're really excited about finally kind of, I think, passing a milestone in terms of getting ready to turn the page and get to the next chapter of our work and start to build out our team, start to really establish our work in a really tangible way through like a headquarters, and getting to now expand everything that we do now that we've kind of mastered our formula and special touch and things like that. So yeah, that's kind of everything that we do in a nutshell.
Wow. So the two of you have been running a nonprofit, just the two of you, a nationwide nonprofit for the past 6 years.
Yes.
What has that been like?
It's been a journey for sure. I think it's taken a lot of vulnerability on both ends for sure, because jumping into it, neither of us, I mean, I definitely had no nonprofit experience, but neither did my mom. And so it was kind of just being okay with not being an expert in what we were doing, but being willing to learn and grow and take advice and help from people in the community, and learning by doing. And so for the first few years, it was purely, you know, trial and error, and getting to figure out what works, what doesn't, what the kids want, what they want to learn and engage in, and kind of building from there. So I think it's definitely taken a lighthearted approach, and one that is, again, just intention-based. And I feel like that's what's kept us afloat, even while we sometimes may not know what to do or where we're going. We always know that, you know, with that intention, that we're going to the right place wherever it takes us.
Wow. That is just so incredible to me. And I share such a similar passion as you do in terms of nutrition in general, but also the nutrition for children. You know, when I think mm-hmm. about school lunches and think about children who don't have that opportunity at home, or people and families who live in food deserts, you know, mm-hmm. nutrition really feeds us on a cellular level and an emotional level. And so I think the work that you're doing is just so important, because I think what a lot of people don't realize, and this is largely in part to the food system and the way that it's set up, is mm-hmm. the impact that what we eat can have on conditions like diabetes and heart disease and obesity, and the fact that a lot of those are preventable through diet and lifestyle.
Yes.
And I don't get fired up about a lot of things. And I would admittedly say I'm not overly knowledgeable about enough to actually get in an argument with someone, unless it comes to this stuff. This stuff I can get fired up about.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, definitely a huge problem, and something that we just try to tackle with the most fun and the most lightheartedness, while also being completely straightforward with our knowledge and the information that we share with our students and campers. And so it's just such a joy to get to do this work.
How do you make it fun for the kids?
Yeah, in terms of making it fun, you know, we've definitely had our fair share of picky eaters, and have probably experienced every type of picky eater. The one who just literally doesn't want to try anything, or the one who will try it and then completely try to throw everyone else off and influence them negatively. Or, you know, the picky eater that just lies about not liking foods just because they don't want to try it. So we've definitely gone through a lot of you know, anti-vegetable kids, but I think our main way of keeping things fun is just creating a really open and safe space. And I feel like for a lot of kids, when they are told to eat their vegetables, it's through kind of a really judgmental energy of their parents, like, you know, forcing them, and their parents in a way looking down on them for not eating it. And some kids will even get repercussions for not eating their vegetables. And so this super negative experience is completely linked to consuming healthy foods. And so while that may not be like the parents' fault, they're just trying to get their kid to eat healthy, that does create, you know, traumatizing experiences, to be honest. And especially if on top of that, those vegetables or healthy ingredients are prepared in a way that isn't appetizing or exciting to that kid, they're just going to be scarred for life, basically. So we've dealt with a lot of kids who have come out of that, or just simply have no access to that and don't know how to work with the resources that they do have in order to make their families healthier, or even just have one healthy snack a day. And so for us, it's just really making it an open space, making it one that is non-judgmental. We do a lot of surprise, like blindfolded taste tests, and let everyone know that if they don't like it, it's not the end of the world. Like, it's totally fine. Our taste buds change. Make sure that, you know, you try things 10 times before you decide you don't like it. And just kind of that carefree energy. And I think in addition to having that and having super hands-on cooking demos and games that really engage kids in the nutrition aspect, it's also just having them fully understand why it's important to eat these healthful ingredients. Because for the most part, when we're told to, oh, eat this, it's good for you, like, that means nothing when you don't know what good for you really means on a tangible level. And I think a lot of times that's kind of how nutrition is presented to kids. It's like, oh, this is an orange, it has vitamin C, and it's good for you. And you don't really know why. You can't link it to anything real. And so instead, for us, we really try to make these foods and highlight them in ways that are actually relatable. So for instance, if we're talking about, you know, brain foods, we're going to mention that it will help you on your tests, and it will help you with your mental clarity, and it will help you with energy. Or if you eat an orange, instead of saying, it has vitamin C, we'll say it will help you, you know, keep from becoming sick and make sure that you stay nice and strong during the year or during flu season or whatever it may be, because it builds up immunity. And then we talk about that and watch a video about it, and then we might do some kind of cool activity where they make their own video about it, or we'll do product development where basically after the kids read food labels and learn about why that's super important, they go on to create their own prototype of a healthy product that they'd like to see on the market, and what ingredients it would have and what the benefits would be. And it just allows them to, I guess, reconnect the dots in a way that's positive and informative and empowering. And that's mainly what we're really trying to do, is just reprogram when it comes to this perception on health and wellness that kids have unfortunately not even chosen for themselves, but has been imposed on them through media, through family experiences, through influences at school and at home and with their friends, and those kinds of things. So we're really just trying to shift that through super fun, engaging activities, whether that's, you know, games or creative activities or farm tours and going and seeing where their food comes from and how it grows and picking it and then going back and cooking with it. So we really just try to make it a really well-rounded experience.
So where can people go to learn more about your nonprofit?
Yes. So to learn more, you can go to thehappyorg.org, and essentially just shows our programs, our work, some cute photos of kids and their vegetables and cooking and aprons, and then ways that you can support our work.
Great. So Haley, was there ever a time during all of this, I mean, you've been at this for a while now, when you felt defeated, or there was adversity that you had to overcome, or someone looked at you and said, this girl is so young, you know, no, we're not going to work with you? Mm-hmm. And how did you overcome that moment?
Well, it's definitely been interesting. I think dealing with outside opinions and establishing for myself how I'm going to let those things affect me, whether they're good or bad. And I think mainly the lesson throughout all of my experiences have just been to detach from any outside opinion, whether it's complimentary or not, which has been hard for sure, because I definitely appreciate when people appreciate what I do. So it's interesting to let go of that part. But, you know, the first experience that I had with someone kind of doubting what I was doing or downing what I was doing was actually when I just got started. And this nutritionist lady, I believe she was like a registered dietitian, she wrote this whole blog post about me, and I'm like 11. And she wrote this whole blog post about me saying that I was fat shaming children and just completely like spreading these weird lies. I mean, I had just gotten started, and it was never ever and has never been and will never be about fat shaming people or making anyone feel guilty for their decisions in the past or where they're at in their journeys. And so she wrote this whole thing and was trying to basically discredit me, saying I didn't know what I was talking about because I wasn't certified and registered or whatever, and I'm just a child, blah, blah, blah. And that definitely hurt a lot, especially because it was coming from someone who had a position in which I placed authority on. She's an adult and she has this license, and I'm, you know, just like a kid. And it was definitely a moment where my mom let me know that, you know, just because you have a fancy title doesn't mean that you necessarily know more than some people who can learn all of that and more through, you know, online education or through people in their community. And she let me know that, you know, my perspective is unique and valuable because of my age and my experiences. And so it was a learning moment for sure. And I think helped me build thick skin. And over the years, these negative comments have definitely increased as I get older. And I guess people feel as though I can take more criticism. And it's been, you know, little petty stuff, like, you know, of course, discrediting my work, questioning if it's actually real that I've done all that I've done, or saying that, you know, oh, she should be a cook in McDonald's and blah, 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 like just random hateful messages that, you know, don't make any sense, or even on certain video features that I may have out there, people criticizing how I look, saying that I look older than I do, or saying I look sick and unhealthy. And it's just never ending. And I think that is expected when you do something or be something that people are afraid of unleashing or tapping into themselves. And I think that's mainly just, you know, dancing to the beat of your own drum. So many people are afraid of just doing that and letting go of all that society and the world and everyone around us expects us to be or conditions us to be. And I feel like sometimes my experience of just doing the complete opposite of that can be intimidating and I guess scary for some people to see. I mean, I, you know, don't see it that way, but I can understand how maybe someone who's insecure, unfulfilled, or feels like they can do more or should be doing more and they're not, can find an opportunity to, instead of, you know, find something within them that they can spark, instead like tear someone else down for doing what they feel that they have the potential to do. So if that makes sense, I think that's kind of what I've realized, is that whether or not someone likes me or likes what I do, it's really not my problem and is fully a reflection of, you know, what they may be going through in their life. And I can only hope that just what I do can impact who it needs to impact, basically. And I'm just not going to worry about pleasing everyone and having everyone like me and my work if they don't want to. So I think that's been an evolution to kind of get to this point, because I definitely had the moments where I would just want to reply to every horrible comment, defending myself and defending my work and fighting for this validation from people who I don't know and don't really need to be validated by, I guess. And ultimately, if I can find a strong enough validation and motivation within myself, then I'll always be okay. And I'll always be, you know, most happy, I think.
Everything you said is so true. And social media does not make it easy. And I think that you have an incredible approach. It's empathetic and also confident. And I do think that takes time to develop. And I think for anybody listening, you know, there are definitely moments to learn from what you just said in terms of tuning in with what we're doing, tuning out the outside noise, and really being confident in what we're doing. And there's a quote on your website of someone pretty awesome who's confident in the work that you're doing. Michelle Obama said that Haley is an example for all of you, what your little powerful voices can do to change the world. How did it feel to have her say that?
It was definitely a surreal moment for me, and mainly just because she is an incredible role model and a role model to many. But for me, I just really connect with, even beyond her work, just who she is and her story and the way that she has just so gracefully spread her message and her truth and has branched out from, you know, not only First Lady, but also like movement maker and shaker and author and someone who is now like a thought leader as well. So I really admire that journey. And so to have her say that about me is, of course, an honor and something that, again, feels very surreal. And I actually was there in the audience when she said that about me. So like being there in real time and hearing, you know, how much she appreciated in my work was just a really humbling experience.
Yeah. Well, I think all of us listening think those same things about the work that you're doing. It really is so incredible. What does a day in the life of Haley Thomas, this speaker, cook, nonprofit runner, that's not even a word, but you know what I mean. What does a day in your life look like?
It varies for sure. I think it's always spontaneous to a certain extent. Just depending on what's going on, it's either like traveling or preparing for an event that I might be speaking at or attending, working on program development, working on social media content and recipe development. Currently, I'm working on a book which is set to release next year, which I am beyond excited about and really grateful for this opportunity to put my life and my ideas and my heart and soul basically all into like a permanent book that will be on shelves everywhere. So getting to work on that is a huge project this year.
That's amazing. I saw that on your Instagram earlier today and I was like, I need to make sure I talk to her about that.
Yeah, I am just over the moon excited about that. And it's, yeah, it really just varies, honestly. It really depends on everything that's going on. But I think one of the main things that I'm really trying to prioritize is also life outside of all of my titles and just life as the human Haley and getting to enjoy my family and my friends and, you know, hanging out with my sister and just doing things that are not connected to, you know, reaching goals on the professional side, but rather reaching personal goals and reading lots and making sure that I'm taking care of myself and drawing a line in to a certain extent, because a lot of the work that I do is so deeply connected to my personal life. So finding ways to create habits and do activities that are just purely there for fun and enjoyment and exploration. And that's been like learning how to roller skate over these past few weeks and getting to like fully try to embrace this snowy weather here in New York, which I'm still not super adjusted to.
But it's hard to do. embracing the snow. I feel I've been trying to do it for 30 years and I still can't.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. But you know, it's just like being present in those moments, even though the weather is horrible, like let's go sledding and just doing stuff like that. So I think that's one of my biggest goals and kind of reminders of the year is just to also just be a human and do things that aren't necessarily connected to a career or other people, to be frank. Like, it's great to do work outside of yourself, but you can't really do work outside of yourself if you don't do work inside of yourself. So just realizing that and trying to put it into action.
So something that we've touched on a lot during this conversation is the idea of purpose and meaning. And I think that, you know, we all feel more purposeful, fulfilled, and valuable when we're part of something that's bigger than ourselves. Like we stand for something or like we're part of a community. If you could give people one piece of advice on how they can take that first step on getting involved or standing up for something that they care about or finding what it is that they care about, what would it be?
I think mainly it's, there are things in life that just based on your experiences or your situation or your background and history that you are just drawn to and, or even just automatically kind of built into. So for me, it was food and loving, like going to food festivals and being into that. And eventually it completely blossomed into this whole other thing. But also as I grow up and experience more and understand more, now I am able to recognize a really deep passion for social justice on a level that is connected to food and also not connected to food. And so getting to just allow myself to grow and evolve and my passions to grow and evolve and the interconnectivity of all of those passions to really shine through has been one of the biggest signals of my growth throughout the years, I believe. So I think my biggest advice is just to really dive deep into those things that you are drawn to, the things that you say you only wish you could be a part of, or, you know, you're not quite sure how to get started. The easiest way to get started nowadays is on social media. There are so many communities who are looking for support, looking for other unique voices and perspectives within that movement. And so I think it's mainly just like being bold and saying like, hey, I'm just going to try this. I'm going to learn more about this. I'm going to find a way to help my community. And that can be like a quick Google search at this point or a quick follow of someone who you admire. And then through them, you're able to learn more about what they do and learn about ways to get involved and see how you can also launch your own platform, your own movement, or whatever it may be. So I feel like it's a lot more of a simplified process at this point, but I also believe that there's always something within us that kind of draws us to certain issues or certain causes or hobbies and passions that sometimes we don't listen to because we feel as though we're supposed to, you know, just follow like the straight path of just like going to school, going to college, getting a job. But I think if you pay attention to all the things that you love to do outside of what you have to do, then you really recognize what is kind of up for grabs in terms of maybe a lifelong passion or something that can be completely ignited into a movement of your own.
Thank you so much. That's such great advice. So before we say goodbye, I just wanted you to let us know if there's any ways that we can support you. How can we help you? Where can we follow you? Tell us what to do.
Cool. Well, you can follow and join my journey on social media, of course. One of the best connectors for people all over the world and who can't be a part of, you know, our day-to-day work and things like that. So for the nonprofit, we're just at The Happy Org on Instagram and Twitter. And for me personally, where you can find like recipes and my travels and just life stuff, you can find me at Haley Thomas, H-A-I-L-E, no Y, Thomas, on Instagram, and Haley V. Thomas on Twitter. But Instagram is my main place, so that's usually where you'll find like the most up-to-date stuff and any opportunities to get involved.
Awesome. Well, I will include all of the links to each of your social channels and your nonprofit in the show notes, which will be on my website under the podcast tab. And any final words you want to share with the listeners? It has been so great talking to you today.
I am just so honored to be on here, and I really appreciate the opportunity. And I love when like connections from a couple years back can come around so full circle, and to have you, you know, now starting this podcast and being able to share kind of my newfound work and everything through this outlet. I really appreciate the opportunity and platform, and thank you so much for having me, and to everyone for listening to my journey.
Well, there we have it, episode 1. I hope Haley's story inspires you to find your passion and cultivate the confidence to pursue it. What a shining example of how we can each play a role in making the world a better place in our own way. You can find Haley online, and her Haley is spelled H-A-I-L-E, no Y, at www.haleyvthomas.com or on Instagram at Haley Thomas. I'll include all of the links to Haley's information on my website at www.haley-miller.com/podcast in the show notes. If you're ready for another episode, check out my second conversation on sleep with sleep expert and TED resident Dan Gartenberg.